Hello, welcome to Reflections on the Scriptures. My name's Murray Shanks. Let's open the Word of God today to Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3. Verse 12 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all of these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." Therefore, because of all this doctrinal stuff that Paul has just been taking them through earlier in the letter, the fact that you died with Christ and your life is now hidden in His, the fact that your eyes are no longer focused on the things of this world, but on the things of heaven, on eternal things, therefore, clothe yourselves with these things. Paul says, clothe yourself with compassion. That is, put on compassion. Become a person of compassion. How do you do that? How do you clothe yourself with compassion? Well, one of the first steps towards becoming a more compassionate person is to turn down the volume of your inner voice and begin to listen, really listen to others. And that takes practice. In other words, intentionally stop yourself from thinking about your own thoughts and focus on the other person. Intentionally be present to the other person. You know, when you're talking with someone and they appear to be listening to you, but deep down you sense that really they are just thinking about their next remark and looking for a chance to butt in. I mean, we all do it to some extent. Well, when you're on the other end, the listening end, and you start thinking about your own stuff, stop and start listening, really listening to the other person. Don't just listen to their words, listen to their body language. Listen for what's happening emotionally for them. That's the first step towards cultivating compassion. I believe it's a big issue for us today. We live in a world of hard-hearted, self-centered people, and it's easy to become hard-hearted. But the Word of God calls us to be soft-hearted, compassionate people. Second step is to ask yourself, what would it be like to be in their shoes? What would it be like to be that person? What would it be like to be going through what they are going through right now? Do those two things, and I guarantee you'll begin to put on compassion. Next, Paul says, clothe yourself with compassion and kindness. Kindness is a quality of God. To be kind is to be like God. In Luke 6, where Jesus speaks about loving your enemies, he says, and this is verse 35, "And you will be sons of the Most High because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked." God is kind even to those who don't love Him, and we should do the same thing. In Romans 2, verse 4, Paul reminds us that God's kindness leads you toward repentance. To be kind to others, especially your enemies, is to be like God. So Paul says, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, and humility. In the Old Testament, the prophet Micah asked the question, what does God require of us? Does He want calves offered up as burnt offerings, thousands of rams sacrificed? Does He want us to sacrifice our children like the gods of the surrounding nations? No, God's answer. To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. In the book of Isaiah, God says, this is God speaking, "I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit." Despite being the high and lofty one, that's what the verse says, he makes his dwelling by preference with those who are humble. Psalm 51 tells us the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. As followers of Jesus, the one described as being gentle and humble in heart, we should be humble as well. So we are to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, and next Paul says gentleness. It's the fourth practice that Paul calls us to put on. The original word that Paul used here, the word translated as either gentle or meek, was often used to describe an animal, a horse or a camel, that was completely disciplined and controlled, a gentle, well-behaved animal. In the same way, we need to be self-disciplined and in control of our emotions and our reactions towards the actions of others. This idea of being gentle and meek is closely connected with being submissive to one another. Now, submitting to one another is often about being willing to be wronged. Often our sense of justice riles us, so we become anything but gentle. If someone has wronged us, we want to get them back, lash out, and hurt them in some way. Yet the Word of God calls us to be gentle with one another. True humility leads to gentleness. The person who is gentle doesn't need to assert their importance or their authority. They have every compulsion, every passion, every motion of their mind and heart under control. That is, under the control of God. Their natural default reaction is a gentle reaction. Are you gentle in your life? The heroes of this world are anything but gentle. Yet the heroes of God are gentle people. Next, Paul says, be patient with one another. Even though you know someone has done something wrong or is immature, I think in most cases God would have us just let it go. Be patient with people in the same way that God and your brothers and sisters are patient with you. Basically, tolerate the things they do that bug you. We all need to get a handle on the fact that we are a group of sinners brought together by the love and forgiveness of God. We are all sinners, and the more you appreciate and own that reality, the more patient you will be with others. The Lord Himself is our best example. He has been infinitely patient with each of us. 2 Peter 3:15 says, "Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation." Sometimes I wonder why God takes so long to bring this world to an end. Sometimes I just wish that He would come and that sin and death would be finished with, and that we could get on with living with God in the new heaven and the new earth. But that's because, well, I guess I'm being really selfish. I mean, imagine if God had done that 50, 60 or 70 years ago, then maybe none of us, hardly any of us, would have had the opportunity to accept His offer of salvation. Our Lord's patience means salvation for each of us. Our response to God's patience is that we should be patient with others. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, the great passage on love, it says, "Love is patient, love is kind," etc. Galatians 5:22, the great passage on the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, etc. Be patient with one another. Be patient with God and be patient with yourself. Patient leads into the next practice that we are to put on. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Mutual tolerance and mutual forgiveness should be the standout mark of all of our relationships. Jesus pressed upon His followers to the need for untiring and unceasing forgiveness. In Matthew 18, verse 22, where Peter asked Jesus about the limit of forgiveness, he says, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven?" And Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Now, the Pharisees recommended three times. So Peter's suggestion was generous, but Jesus basically says, don't even bother counting. Just keep on forgiving. The Lord has forgiven each of us far more than we are likely to have to forgive others. So that should be our standard. Jesus taught that those who seek the forgiveness of God must be ready to forgive others. Not that forgiveness of others in any way earns God's forgiveness. It's just that an unforgiving spirit is an effective barrier to receiving God's forgiveness. Finally, Paul says, this is verse 14, "And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." Love is the fulfillment of the law of God because it does a neighbor nothing but good. Remember when Jesus was asked about summing up the law and the prophets, He says, "Love God and love your neighbor as yourself." That sums it all up. Love holds Christians together under the strain of relationship. Love checks the selfish, hard tempers which keep people apart and which works against good fellowship. Love is the full expression of God's life within his community, devoid of bitter words and angry feelings, freed from the ugly defects of immorality and dishonesty. This is the kind of love that builds up the body of Christ. Paul finishes this section by saying, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." The Lord bless you today. Amen.